If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Malcolm Nance.
Good morning, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, sir. I'm sorry. I remember how Oprah used to have Oprah's book club? I instituted Steffi's book club, and I read almost all of Chapter 9 of The Plot to Hack America on air yesterday, because it is required reading for all Americans.
I read it over and over.
No, I have to tell you, Malcolm, I've been saying on the air, I had a long, we started Sexy Liberal Tour, so I read the entire book again on the plane, and I urged people to read it again in light of all we know now and the fact that this was published before the election, because it is just eerie. It is eerie, sir.
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. And the worst part is, you know, even though it was written 7 months ago, the worst parts have yet to come.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the predictions of what, you know, just how deep this thing could go.
Yeah.
There was a little debate between myself and Naveed Jamali, who's he's an ex FBI double agent who worked and caught the Russian spies. And he thinks that this is not about collusion. He thinks this is more about something even more sinister, that this is actually infiltration by the Russians into the Trump campaign with people who were winning, who mm-hmm. knew what they were doing. I'm more of the co-option, you know, worried
right.
more about money. And again,
right.
this is going to come out to one of three things. It's going to come out to identifying money, identifying espionage, or a hybrid of both.
You know, I was just reading somebody tweeting about they think Comey is going to want to come out of the right side of history of this on this, having obviously done the wrong thing before the campaign, right, with not revealing this to the American people while revealing the Clinton email thing, which was a nothing burger. What do you think? I mean, what is your guess on what's happening or what's going to happen?
Well, you know, I'm of the camp that believes that Comey thought the Clinton thing was political and easily, you know, dismissed just because it was a question of politics, and that he didn't take it seriously. He just thought, well, let the chips fall where they may. But I also believe that he will not reveal anything about a counterintelligence investigation. And I have to remind people on a weekly basis, this is not a regular FBI investigation. This is an FBI investigation using their spy hunters. That means if you're not a member of ISIS who is operating in the United States, or you're not an enemy spy, these people would not be investigating you. And
Thank
they
you.
Are investigating the Trump campaign. So that tells you all you need to know about the nature of this investigation.
You caution in the book, and you've certainly said this, you know, here on the air and elsewhere, about, you know, be very careful the word treason. It's a very song. And you had said in the book, again, written, you know, came out 7 months ago before the election, you said, you know, there would have to be collusion. And as you just brought up, you know, at the top of our segment here, but obviously you've heard Adam Schiff and others that have seen the classified material say that there is more than circumstantial evidence of collusion. What do you make of that?
Well, there is evidence that there's collusion. Now, what we need to do is, well, let me rephrase that. There is intelligence that there was collusion. And recall what I always say, and I know, you know, progressives and middle-of-the-road people that want to see this thing accelerate, intelligence is not evidence until it is in the hands of the Justice Department and has been brought in under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Right.
And so we might have a lot of information, and there could be several different foreign agencies, you know, GCHQ, that has a tabletop full of intelligence. But intelligence is like a jigsaw puzzle where you only see the face of a cat and a flower, and when you put it all together, it's Versailles, right?
Or right.
You know, the United States Capitol, and it's 30 feet long by 20 feet high, and you've just gotten two tiny pieces.
Right.
Intelligence is small segments of 10 or 15 sections of those pieces over a varied area, and we can say, hey, that's Versailles, that's the Capitol.
Right.
Until those pieces are turned over to Justice Department, it's not evidence. And now we are moving to evidence. And people need to be patient about that.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You caution me every week. But you know I'm the Veruca Salts of the Russian investigation. I want it now, Daddy.
I want it now.
I want it now.
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if I call you Daddy? Okay,
sure.
Malcolm.
Happened before.
Mrs. Nance is very understanding. Now, No, but, you know, I said yesterday on CNN, I mean, this is looking very much like obstruction of justice to me. This, you know, the White House refusing to turn over Flynn documents. Flynn clearly appears to have broken the law. You tweeted, the House committee says Flynn money from Russia and Turkey illegal. Political death watch now for how fast he turns into a witness against Trump. But there we have Burr yesterday saying no immunity. You get the sense they don't want to hear what Michael Flynn has to say. I mean, this is starting to look like a massive cover-up by Republicans, isn't it?
Well, the Republicans are dragging their feet because they understand that, you know, as long as they have time, they can obfuscate. They can change this thing into a debate about Barack Obama and supposedly wiretapping. That's the only thing that will keep them politically alive. And the reason I made that tweet was because now we have two different things. Michael Flynn, when he came into government, declared certain aspects of his career on the record, even though the news media had already put out information that he was working. He had been on Russia Today. He had received money from speeches in the government of Russia. He had been in contact with people. But there is a document that you have to put in when you want your top secret security clearance, and it's called an SF-86. That it's actually not an actual physical document. It's a computer program that you log into, and you put in all your data, every foreigner that you've ever had contact with or have contact with in the last 10 years, every dollar that you made, the source of all that money, all of those resources. This is your declaration to the United States intelligence community and our counterintelligence world of who your contacts are with. Michael Flynn left Russia and Turkey, and the Turkish contact, it turned out, was working for the Russians. He had to have known that he was trying to, he must have thought he could get away with it because he was going to be national security advisor and no one would figure this out. But
yeah,
now it looks like complete and total obstruction of justice. He wanted to hide from the top secret investigators when it was time to update his security clearance, the fact that he was working for foreign powers. And I mean, working for them in what capacity? As
yeah,
a registered agent of businesses, or was he an actual agent of a foreign intelligence agency? Two horrific things that he's going to have to account for.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, they always say it's the cover up, right? I mean, we
the
don't
cover up is the crime.
Yeah, let's move on to even more terrifying things. I was saying yesterday about, I said it's hard to see anything North Korea, whatever's going on, without the lens of Russia, and how much of this is caused by just trying to distract from the Russia revelations. You said this unprecedented briefing on North Korea is a grave indicator of possible imminent action by the U.S. You also tweeted intelligence indicators are piling up. This is a pathway to claim to have given a diplomatic chance to North Korea. George W. Bush was much less obvious. This is very provocative and very dangerous what we're doing, isn't it?
Well, now we're talking a completely different game. And I think when I was there a week ago, we talked about how grave the situation of North Korea is because a miscalculation by either party could lead to a massive demonstration of just how bad things could get. Now, we're not talking atomic bomb just yet. We're talking about quite possibly precipitating incidents which could lead to the Second Korean War. North Korea put on a little artillery demonstration yesterday where they got together 300 pieces of artillery on a beach, and they fired off one salvo of artillery rounds, just one. Well, North Korea has 14,000 dug-in, hardened-emplacement, in mountaintops artillery pieces aimed at South Korea. And a miscalculation could lead to those units firing. Now, remember, they could fire one heavy artillery round with nerve gas or high explosive every 30 seconds. They could literally devastate the northern part of South Korea, kill tens of thousands of people, kick off the Korean War. This briefing that's going on today, all right, fun jokes aside, is as serious as a heart attack. The president is having an intelligence briefing at the White House to make his case that something has to be done about Korea. And the fact that he's bringing in the congressman teaches that, shows us that that something is going to be require the entirety of the U.S. government to come and speak about
it. But this is what happens when you have a president who is a pathological liar and probably a dangerous lunatic in charge of the nuclear codes, right? I mean, we don't know what, how much is his ego and, you know, his poll ratings, and it's the first 100 days and he has to do something. And I mean, I think this is what's so, I mean, I know we were talking about the China said moving in the missile defense systems in is provocative and is, you know, not a good thing to do. But again, you know, it's like we've never had our own dangerous lunatic in charge, right, in terms of us and North Korea.
Well, you get what you pay for in politics. And right now you have the president has mapped out this course. He's going to say that this was a mandate given to him by the people. And right now you can't, I mean, the seriousness of what he's doing here requires all of us to think twice about certainly what we think is of high importance. I am not particularly concerned about the Russia incident with regards to North Korea, because the Russia thing is going to play itself out. But if we were to suddenly find ourselves in a snap war or carrying out military action against North Korea, or trying to get the United Nations to give this diplomatic cover for combat action or sanctions that would provoke North Korea into doing something provocative, that's going to be a completely different set of articles. I mean,
Malcolm, again, I think all of these, military misadventures we've already gone on, and, you know, starting with the botched Yemen raid. I was reading a story yesterday about, I don't know if you saw this, and as an old Navy guy, that an Iranian vessel, you know, came very close to one of our ships and, you know, in a provocative action, didn't change course. And, you know, we remember Donald Trump's talking about, oh, that the Iranian sailors had made rude gestures and he would blow them out of the water if he were president. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem, is everything you read is terrifying in terms of how he's going to react, right? Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Oh, dear. Oh, we did. Oh, like, that's just another...
Yeah, that's
right?
A coincidence.
Like, that happens all the time. All right, hang on. Malcolm, you there?
Yeah, you lost me. Those darn Russians.
That's okay. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean. No, I was talking about this Iranian ship and, us remembering Trump saying, that he would have blown it out of the water, the sailors that were making rude gestures at our sailors. Well,
right.
I mean, and you saw this, right, that the Iranian vessel came, you know, and I mean, every headline you read just terrifies, and right, thinking, oh, God,
well,
you know.
Well, you know, these Iranian confrontations, they're not even confrontations, but close passes, occur weekly in the Arabian Gulf. I mean, I can tell you.
Right, but not with Donald Trump president. That's my point.
Well, there's that part. But you still have to put it into context. The United States is not equipped, as we have learned in Iraq and Afghanistan, to fight two wars. We're just not equipped for that. North Korea, for example, if it precipitates into something deadly, that's a war where you will have the draft. We just don't have enough men in the U.S. Armed Forces to fight a war of that magnitude. And they use old technology. So that old technology in North Korea is perfect for marching south, but it defeats our high technology because, you know, you can't come down to a certain altitude without getting shot at by antiquated anti-aircraft guns that will hit you, just aimed by the eye. And if they've got 1 million men, they have up to 6 million people the North Koreans could bring into the armed forces and wave across South Korea. We're going to need more than the 28,000 U.S. service members there to stop that. So, you know, I don't know if the White House is gaming this out. I certainly hope that the calmer heads, General McMaster and Secretary of Defense Mattis, are going along with a little bit of the rhetoric, but are actually going to walk us back from actually doing anything that will precipitate another Korean War.
Yeah. Let's move on to your next terrifying book. What, you have a new terrifying book out?
Oh, which one? Hacking ISIS.
Yes.
It's the one that came out this week. I co-authored that with Chris Sampson, a guy who's worked with me for years. We've been plotting media from ISIS and Al-Qaeda for nearly a decade. And this one is, it actually had some good news, because most of the operations of ISIS's cyber warfare operations, most of their real smart guys are dead. Unfortunately, I do announce that there is a new phase of ISIS, which will be coming in the next 6 months to a year, and ISIS will devolve into a ghost caliphate. That's where all of it, everything will be online. It won't exist anymore in the physical world. But it's your kids. It's your neighbor's kids who will be watching those videos and will be able to go out and carry out attacks, what we call no-dollar attacks. Just get into a car and drive people over or get a kitchen knife. And that is the future of ISIS, to where you can't stop it because it doesn't exist physically. It's an idea that's floating in space that any person can take up.
Well, apparently you didn't get the memo that Trump has already eradicated ISIS in the first 30 days of his presidency, as he promised.
Say what?
Oh, man. Malcolm, great stuff as always. And as I said, I did a big ode to you on Monday's show when I read some of the book. It's just thank you for being a patriot, honestly, because we just we need more patriots, more heroes to step up right now. Because the plot to hack America should be required reading for every American.
Plot to hack America. I agree with you. You know what? I read it and I go, wow, did I write that?
You're like, damn, that guy's good. That guy
According
is good.
To some people I didn't, but Plot to Hack America, mandatory reading. Everybody go out and buy it.
Yep.
You know.
I force fed it to them. I read the whole chapter 9 yesterday. Just read chapter 9 if you don't do anything else.
I think.
You know, my favorite chapter is the one on Operation Lucky 7. And the only difference between where I organized how the Russians did it, and the only difference between me and the CIA is I called it Operation Lucky 7. They called it Grizzly Step. That's it.
Yeah.
Only difference.
But you said it. You went right to it when you said Putin wanted Trump to win because he wanted to destabilize America, hurt our economy, and you know blow up EU and NATO. And you know it is really terrifying. You must go get it. The Plot to Hack America. Love you, Malcolm. I've gone way too long with you once again.
I will see you Monday in Los Angeles.
Oh, what? Really? Oh my God. This is just too much for me. It's too much. All right,
much
I love
nets.
You. I'll see you Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God.
Again,
in person?
I know.
I got rid of Italian ISIS. I ate them all. That's what I did.